Hello and welcome to the programme. Tonight, Shamrock Ales 1972 to 2022 is a new history of Shamrock Ales GAA and LGFA, published in two volumes, which is going to be launched in Sligo's Clayton Hotel on Saturday week, the 15th of November. We have in studio current and former chairpersons of Shamrock Ales. They are Vincent Henry, Andrew Hannan, Andy Kearns, and Laurie Quinn. Gentlemen, welcome. Whose idea was it to write this book?
Well, Austin, I'll hand over to Laurie here because Laurie was chairman of the club at the time, and that was, I suppose, in 2021. We were coming up to our anniversary in 2022. So Laurie spoke to me. I had worked on a number of books previously, and Laurie approached me probably in 2020, I'd say, Laurie, to see what I'd be interested in putting the history of the club together. So,
yeah, I suppose, Aston, I thought it was important as we approached our 50th year that there would be a record of the club activities. There had been a previous book brought out by Sean McKeown, actually, and Cormac Cairns, I think, after about 25 years or something like that. But I knew that Andy had obviously had an interest in this, and apart from his own club and involvement with the club, and that he had also produced a very worthy publication for Riverstown Church. So as it approached the 50th, I was in the chair at the time. I asked Andrew if he'd take on the task of producing a club history, which he did, and obviously it was a mammoth task, but I knew once I'd asked him that it was going to be done to perfection, it was going to be done correctly, and that's why I did ask him. And I'm delighted that we're here now at this stage where we're ready to launch the book on Saturday week, the 15th of November. So that's where it came about.
Yeah, I might just come in there, and I suppose for anyone listening, the original intention with the book had been that it would be produced in 2022 to coincide with the anniversary. But as the project got underway, I realised there were two approaches to the book. The first one would be a general overview of the club, and I realised pretty quickly that that would entail leaving people out, and I didn't want to do that. I got probably more of a kick of coming across the name of somebody who was involved with the club or played for the club that I had forgotten about, rather than I'll not mention any names of, you know, more well-known committee members or players or whatever. So as it went on, it became a project that I wanted to be very much inclusive, and of course that entailed more time, more research, and the anniversary date passed by and people were in the club, I'm sure, were wondering, when is this book going to come out? And it got to the stage then where I was saying, well, look, it'll be ready when it's ready. And I'm glad we did wait, you know, that length of time, and I think it's a much better production because of that.
And here was me thinking, Andy Kearns, you were holding on to time it beautifully with the arrival of the Owen B. Hunt Cup into the parish.
There was that as well. I knew that was going to happen as well. So that was a factor.
Where do you start writing and compiling a book of this magnitude?
Well, I suppose it's like the previous books I worked on with a biro and a copybook, basically, Austin, and sketched out an idea for the book. I had a fairly clear idea from the start how I wanted it to do. Obviously, there's the chronological order of each year, and there's a fairly comprehensive, it's a very comprehensive record of each individual year. And then after that, then you think about the elements that you want to bring in, contributions from club members, the prehistory, if I could call it that, of the club before 1972, and various other bits and pieces.
You come from a very famous Shamrock Ales family, the Kearnses, your late dad Leo, one of the founders of the club. And there's a great history of football in your family, of writing and journalism too. So, I mean, had you a natural, from the cot, interest in writing and gathering info?
I did, Austin. I suppose, yeah, I worked on a number of books previously, and it was always, I suppose there was 11 in our family, and it was always my ambition to be sitting in the chair that you were in, to be honest, which journalism was something I was very interested in, but an alternative career came up, and, you know, needs must at the time. But yeah, I suppose it was safe to say that was always within me. And it's funny, from, you know, there are various people around the club, and I was aware that they had been keeping old newspaper clippings, and there were people of a like mind who were keeping all of this information, and with probably no intent or a vague notion that at some point that's a project like this would be would come together. And thanks to Larry, it did come to fruition, and it was Larry that initiated it and has pushed the thing the whole way through. So
we'll talk a bit more about the actual book in just a second, but of course you will have relied heavily on the indigenous knowledge around the parish and those who have been there since the very start around Shamrock Ales. And I suppose since my young reporting days, if I was to think of two Shamrock Ales names that come into my head instinctively, it's probably Vincent Henry and Andrew, who's looking across from me here. Vincent, what sort of memories has this project brought up for someone like you?
Oh, a lot of Austin great memories. As Austin, Andrew would have contacted me maybe 4 years ago to write a bit for the book, and I found it hard to settle down and do it, but in the end, true to a constant nagging from him, I got it done. But I was lucky enough, I was involved with Shamrock Ales at the very start, and we had a minor team, very good minor team. And we also won the Foley Cup the first year, and then minor won it again the following year. So we got off to a great start. I suppose the biggest change at that time would be to go in and see people who were at their each other's throats before this, working together with the new club. And that was the biggest thing I found, you know, that you had Leo Cairns and Jerry Conby, who I'd have seen as our arch enemies. Now all of a sudden they were shaking hands with Dominic Quinn and Pedro Quidley, and these people would have been at loggerheads. So
you would have played with Nokalasa. Who did you play with in the pre-Shamrock Ales times?
I only played one senior game for Nokalasa. I would have played underage, minor, under 16, under 14. There was no under 12 that time. I think it was under 14 would have been the first thing we would have came up with. And we would have had some success in the areas with people like Mickey McDermott and Brett Bartley, Padgie Quidley. They would have been the people who was involved heavily, Noel Foley, Tommy Kelly, Tommy John Feeney, other people like that. But it wasn't really much, because the lads who we went to Coolah were also from Giva and Ballintore, and they would have been part of the first minor and underage teams in Shamrock Ales.
Okay. Andrew Hannan, I'm probably going to use the surnames here because we have two Andrews here in our discussion panel. What do you remember about the very start of this club?
Well, actually, Austin, I remember well playing under 14 with Nokalasa, and then there was a great amalgamation of two great clubs, Sui and Nokalasa. And as a young fella, we found it very exciting. As Vincent said before, that we were arch rivals, Sui and Nokalasa, and it was magnificent, I suppose, at the time, and exciting for a youth that time to see an amalgamation of two great clubs coming together, going to be superpowers in the year to come. I remember well starting out, as a young fella, starting out playing football. My local neighbour, Mickey McDermott, Lord have mercy on him, and Brett Bartley, rounding us up and getting them in their cars, bringing us around to the matches. Paddy Joe Quigley was a leader there with our underage teams that time, Liam Dennedy. We had a magnificent time at underage, but then the club took over, as Vincent said earlier there, and it was a magnificent amalgamation and exciting to see two clubs join together and watching the adult football then and seeing great footballers at work.
Yeah, Andrew and Larry, for anyone with a passing interest in Sligo Gaelic football, you'll go through at some stage in your life a few times the roll of honour of championships, whether it's senior, intermediate, junior, underage. And you'll go back down the years, say, in Tommy Kilcoyne's old book of the 125 book of Sligo GAA. And yeah, it's Tubba Curry and St Mary's and Turlough Stran in the more recent decades. But then you go back pre-70s, pre-60s, and the names Nokalasa, Sui, that a certain generation of football fan won't be familiar with.
Yeah, I suppose I think Sui, or sorry, Nicholas, first of all, I think won two senior championships back in the 30s, and Sui won in 49 and 59. And just even on the 59 team, I seen a photograph of it there recently, and one of the men in the front of it is Tommy Degnan, and he's looking as fresh today as he was back then when he
was. This is Tommy Senior.
Tommy Senior, yeah. So I suppose, look, there was a history there, but the people who were over the respective clubs at the time between Sui and Nakalasa obviously felt that in order to enhance and drive on the GEA within our community, that it would be beneficial to come together. So I suppose thinking of my memories of the start of Shamrock Ales would be watching that minor team that Vincent referenced, that won in 1972, and the minor team won again in 73. And there were some great footballers on that. And that included, we'll say, Robert Taff, I think, from Ballintore was the captain of that minor team. And you had lads from Giva like Colin Loftus and Danny Tegg and Leo Tiernan. Do you know, because they were, when Shamrock Ales was set up first, Ballintore and Giva were in with us as well. And there were some great footballers on it. Obviously, Vincent's own brother, Frank Henry, who went on to win a championship title, yeah, in 1975, was a key member of that team. And in the early years as well, I remember it was Frank Henry and a brother of mine, Donny, were probably two of the principal people who took on the training of underage teams and would have, I suppose, set an example for the rest of us about, even while you're a player with the club, you can still get involved in the coaching end of it or the administration end of it. So I think the people, initially the executive, if you like, at the time of both clubs, showed great initiative in setting it up. And we got a great example then from the older players who were playing senior football for the club at the time, but also heavily involved in coaching and administration.
Yeah, Andy Cairns, while Shamrock Ales was only formed in 1972, you've gone out of your way here to ensure that the overall context and history of Gaelic games in the whole area is encapsulated in this production, because you've written two books. Part two is ostensibly Shamrock Ales 72 to 2022, but explain to me the premise of part one.
Yeah, I suppose, Austin, I felt it was important to set the context of, I would say that there's no time like the present to write any history book. And you know, if we had embarked on this project 10 years ago and we had access to the people who are sadly no longer with us, obviously it would be such a richer production. And just if I could say, having access to the likes of these three guys here, you know, you research stuff in newspaper, but frequently there are gaps or there's colour missing from telling a story, and it's invaluable to have the likes of these three guys here to fill in those gaps.
So you read the champion report in the library, and then these three tell you what really happened.
Yeah, well, you get the proper version then. But so you could have said, taken an approach of, this is just a dry history from 1972 to 2022, but that doesn't really encapsulate the whole story, because, you know, there was huge rivalry between, it was before my time, but the rivalry between the two clubs was immense. And it was important to capture that there was a rivalry there, and how those people, as Vincent said, you know, to see those people sitting in a committee room together felt strange probably at the start. And
it was very strange. It was the biggest change that I've seen in the beginning.
So, and it was important to tell that story about the origins, how the club actually came together. And I kind of zeroed in on that particular aspect of the history, what was the motivation for the two clubs. And as Larry has said, they had varying levels of success through the late 60s and 70s, and there were junior clubs, I think, at the time that Shamrock Ales was formed. And the foresight of those people to say, well, look, we're not going to be able to achieve any success on our own, we need to come together, I think it's a testament to those people.
And I suppose it's also important to note that there was other clubs, you know, and when Andy covers from 1884, the foundation of the GAA, up to 1972, there would have been other clubs in the area, in Glen, I think, and in Ballyrush and whatever, you know, and that, while it's not a detailed team list and every game they played, it is important that they're referenced, because if they didn't take up the cudgel on behalf of the association back then, maybe there wouldn't have been the Sui and Akalasa in the 70 or the 72 to come together. So it's important that they're acknowledged. And I think it's a real history, not just to Shamrock Gaels, but of the whole association from foundation right up until 2022. And I think for anybody with even a passing interest in the GAA, that this is going to be a wonderful treasure trove of information for them.
Quick aside, the Shamrock Gaels club colours, maroon and white, were they a creation in 72, or are they a nod to the pre-existing colours around the area?
No, it was an interesting one, and something really, I suppose, I didn't fully get to the bottom of it, but as far as I can establish, there were two probable reasons for the adoption of that colour. So the name Shamrock Gaels was suggested by the late Paddy Gannon. He had played for a club in London called Shamrocks, so that's where that name came. And I suppose the fact that the club was formed on the 16th of March 1972 around Patrick's Day, that was the tie-in with that. As regards the colour, as far as I can establish, that club in London, their colours were maroon as well. There is some evidence as well that there was a club in Ballintore in the 1960s who briefly wore the colour maroon and white as well. So again, that may have been a factor in the decision to adopt the maroon and white, but sadly the people who would have known that at the time are no longer with us, so that's as best I can establish.
But they are your colours now, they're very well ensconced, absolutely, in Shamrock Gaels.
Absolutely, yeah. And they're unique, I suppose, in Sligo. They're the only maroon and white. We have several clubs who have green and white and red and so on, but they're the only club with that colour, so it's quite distinctive. All right.
Okay, just a bit more flesh on the... Sorry, Laurie, you wanted to come in.
I was just going to say that the colours of Akalasa were black and white, and Sui was green and gold.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. That's right, yeah.
In terms then of building this book, you've talked how you leaned on the knowledge and experience of the Larry Quinns and the Andrew Hannans and Vincent Henrys and others like them across the Shamrock Gaels hinterland. You researched the old newspaper cuttings. I imagine there was a call out to all the attics of Riverstown and Coolah and Castle Baldwin. Yeah. Up you go, have a route around and see what you find. What other search engines did you use?
Well, I suppose the main search engine, well, there's a great facility called IrishNewspaperArchives.com, which is a wonderful facility. So that gives you digital copies of every newspaper in Ireland going back to the year dot. That would have been the principal source of reference, and within that then you had access to the old Sligo Champions and in later years the Sligo Weekender. Then you mentioned Tommy Kilcoyne's book celebrating 125 years of Sligo GAA. That was an invaluable cross-reference as well in terms of dates and so on. And then access to guys like these here to confirm things.
You did one nice thing too for one of your chapters. You invited Shamrock Gaels club members of all ages, hues and persuasions, to send in a contribution. What was the thinking behind that?
Yeah, I thought, you know, when anyone's reading the book, you know, and hopefully the chronicle of the years is not just a dry recounting of the story, but I thought it was important then to flesh out what Shamrock Gaels meant to people over the years, and what they achieved, what they didn't achieve, just to tell their own personal stories. I think probably when people get hold of the book, they'll find that particular chapter is the most interesting chapter in the book. There's a wealth of stories and anecdotes and photographs and so on. It's to me, it was one of the more gratifying parts of the book to work on.
And to the other three guys, did you find that, you know, when Andy is texting you or WhatsApping or calling or, you know, asking about things or clarifying things, did it jog many memories for the three of you?
Well, actually, I did, Austin. When Eddie had ring and asked for some information on past teams or what happened in different committees and that, it would jog memories and excite you again to go through stuff with him and whatever else. It would indeed, Austin, yeah.
Yeah. Vincent, what about you?
Yeah, the same. I'd have to, many times Andrew would have rung up and you'd jog your memory and you would start to think and look back, and it was very, you know, the club, first of all, I have to say, we all owe Andrew and Larry, who came up with the idea, but the work that Andrew Cairns would have done is immense. Again, we'll all be looking at it, because I know that the book that Sean McKeown and Cormac brought out, we've all been referencing that for the last 40 years. I think it was 85 it came out. And we would constantly be going back to that, looking for little details.
I would agree with you, Vincent, on that. The amount of work Andy Cairns done on the book was immense, and it has been going on for the last 5 years, and he has full time, anytime you spoke to him about anything else or anything else, he was working on the book. So he done magnificent work on it, and I compliment Andy there.
What amazes, thanks for that, Andy and Vincent, but what amazes me sometimes is, you know, I can barely remember what happened 2 weeks ago, and you'd ring someone like Vincent or Andy or Larry or Pádraig McKeown or whoever, and not only would they tell you what date a match was on, but they'd tell you what the weather was like, who they were playing, who they were marking, who scored and who missed. Some people have such a remarkable memory for individual matches. It's fascinating. As I say, I'd hardly remember what happened last week. So that was brilliant to be able to ring people like that and say, well, look, do you remember much about this? And, you know,
you were asking Andy about the, you know, the club members who contributed, and I'm really looking forward to that part of it. And I suppose I'm also conscious maybe that some of those members who wrote articles for, which is going to appear in the history book, may have passed on since they actually wrote it. So it's going to be bittersweet maybe for their family members, but it's a lovely thing that is going to be in the book, and their thoughts in relation to the club and what their experience of either playing or being involved with Shamrock Gales or as a supporter or a player, what their memories are going to be. And obviously those memories are captured now in the book and will be there for all the years to come.
They certainly will. We're not going to give away too many of the nuggets of this production, Andy Cairns, but in researching all the material, whether it was for book one or book two, was there anything that caught you by surprise or took your breath away?
Well, just following on from what Laurie said there, sadly, some of the contributors are no longer with us. And when we put out the call to seek contributions from people, the very first person, I think, that responded to the call was the late, great Kevin McDermott. And Kevin took care and time with his contribution, and I don't know how many rewrites myself and Kevin did on his piece, but he was very particular about everything. But one of the funny stories that Kevin told, and Kevin had a wonderful turn of phrase for everything that I could never emulate, but one of the stories he told was about one of our first meetings with the St. Michael's Club, and we had recently split from St. Michael's, so obviously tensions were high, and on the day of the match Kevin was leaving the house above in Riverstown when he spotted a pair of crutches under the stairs. And at the time Kevin had been playing rugby for Sligo Rugby Club, so Kevin decided to throw the crutches in the boot of the car and bring them down to Coolah. And when he reached Coolah, got out of the car and made a big production of getting these crutches and walking across the car park towards the dressing room, to the bewilderment of not only his own teammates but the opposition. And I'm not sure if he wrote it in the story or not, but he told me afterwards that my own father was standing at the door of the dressing room with a look on his face as if to say, what in the name of God has happened to you? So he heard a comment as he was walking across the car park from some of the St. Michael's mentors, oh my God, McDermott's out. Look at McDermott, he won't be playing. So he reached the dressing room anyway and got inside, and his teammates, he kept up the act until he got actually into the dressing room, and his teammates then started into him, but eventually he threw off the crutches and took to the field, and there was general consternation when Kevin took to the field.
Right, okay.
But another story, I suppose, that every time that I read it or came across it when I was proofreading or whatever, that stopped me in my tracks. And it's a poignant story about the late great Paddy Gannon and Joe Masterson from the Turbocurry Club. So Paddy passed away tragically at a football match in Markovitch Park, and himself and Joe would have been keen rivals, I suppose. The two clubs had a huge rivalry over the years, Turbocurry and Shamrock Gaels, and Joe wrote a very touching piece in the Sligo Champion. He was PRO for Sligo GA at the time, and he wrote a column every week in the Sligo Champion. And he recounted a match the previous week where Turbocurry had been beaten by Shamrock Gaels in Coolah. And at that time, our dressing rooms were at the sports, we call it the sports complex up at the school. And we'd walk up and down the road to the dressing room. So anyway, he describes in vivid detail, and it's a lovely story, how he was walking up in the near darkness, and I think it might have been raining as well, in misery, having been beaten by Shamrock Gaels. And next thing, a passing car slowed down and the window was wound down, and this shout came out as only it could from Paddy Gannon, "We worked ye again." And the car just drove off without giving him a chance to respond. So Joe then wrote about how little did he know that a few days later that he would be standing in a guard of honour at Castle Baldwin for his great friend Paddy Gannon. And to me, the reason it's kind of stopped me in my tracks is the way it's beautifully written, but how it brought home that while we can be huge rivals on the field, at the end of the day, it's comradeship, it's friendship, it's love of the GA, it's sense of community and kinship that brings us together. And I think that story encapsulates all of that.
Yeah, and that's continued, guys, right through to 2025. I mean, arguably the most poignant photograph we saw on County Final Sunday was the Shamrock Gaels team and backroom staff stopping at Suey Graveyard on the way home with the Omby Hunt Cup to stop at the grave of the late Anthony Connolly. So that sense of connection, Larry, hasn't faded.
No, and I think, you know, the players, on the Saturday night, actually, Anthony's anniversary mass was on, and the players had a meeting in Coolah, preparing for the replay, and they made a decision as a group that they wanted to go to the anniversary mass in Riverstown, and obviously made the decision themselves as well to stop at and bring the cup into Anthony's grave now. And I think I heard David saying it somewhere, like, if Anthony was here, the house would have been bedecked in bunting and flags, and he would have so loved the whole razzmatazz around the final. But it is important, and it's lovely to think that group of players, and there's a lot of them young players, that they remembered to make that connection with people who had gone before them. And I suppose it kind of... I'm maybe rattling on a bit about our club motto, but our motto being about our community, our family, our club, which basically it's not that it's my club or Andy's or Vincent's or Andy Hannon's, it's everybody's club. It's our club, our family, and it's rooted in our community. And stuff like that where they stopped off at the grave, I think just emphasises that for me, and I'm sure for lots of people within the club, that we are rooted in our community.
Because there is a natural history, a curiosity, guys, amongst the younger generation. They want to know a bit about where they come from, where their club come from. So there is a natural interest in that.
I think so, Austin. And perhaps with this book, you know, you can, through social media and all of that, touch on these and your website and all the rest of it. But I think having a physical book in your hands that, you know, illustrates all of that, I think it's invaluable, and hopefully it will be an heirloom for years to come. Yeah, for people.
And also, Austin, I think it's perfect timing with the book just coming out now after winning the senior championship and the senior league, and these guys, the great players we have, will get a chance to look into their history, know where they came from, and know how it was done before them. And it was by no accident that they won the senior championship, but the work put into Shamrock Gaels all my lifetime and any time around the club with everybody, supporters, officials, everybody, was magnificent. And the fruits are being bearing now, from underage structures to everything else. So I'd say the guys would like to look back on it and see what was done before them and whatever else.
Over the two books, Andy Cairns, how many photographs would you guess you've gathered?
Absolutely no idea, Austin. thousands, literally thousands. So practically every page of the book, over 1,200 pages, has probably.
And was that important to have pictures?
It was, and I hope people will forgive the quality of some of the photographs is quite poor. And myself and Kevin Noon, and just shout out to Kevin Noon here, the book designer. Myself and Kevin would have had frequent, I won't say arguments, but discussions about the quality of photographs.
Creative differences.
Creative differences, that's a good way of putting it. And, you know, at the end of the day, I had to I had to call rank on Kevin over a few photographs because, you know, better to have them there in poor quality, but they're still legible than not. So, and I suppose in terms of photographs, I'd give a shout out to Mary Quinn as well. Mary is a repository of all things Shamrock Gales, but particularly photographs, and particularly of underage photographs. And she was an invaluable resource in terms of giving me photographs and naming the people and the children and remembering that child from 25 years ago, and she can still remember, well, that is that child that's now an adult, and you wouldn't have a clue from looking at the photograph, but Mary would know. So lots of interesting photographs, not all just team photographs, but a good variety across the book.
You are launching Shamrock Gales, A History, next Saturday night in the Clayton Hotel in Sligo. Andy, tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, thanks, Austin. So we felt that it, rather than just putting the book on sale, that it would be the right thing to give it a proper launch and to, I suppose, involve past and current members in that launch and to have something that would celebrate the 50 years, because you don't properly do these things at dinner dances or whatever it might be. So we've designed a function, for want of a better word, around the launch, which will be interviews with past and current players from and club members from the different decades of the club's history. So that's starting at 7 o'clock in the Clayton Hotel, and the books will be for sale at the event. And I suppose we're appealing to all club members far and wide, and non-club members and people who have only a passing interest, to come to the Clayton next Saturday night, because as well as being able to purchase the book, it should be a good night's entertainment for anyone with even a passing interest in GA or in Shamrock Gales to hear all these stories in person.
Is the book on sale now?
Yeah, so the book is on sale through our social media channels. There's a link there where you can pre-order the book. And I suppose I would emphasize in the phrase of that famous ad, when they're gone, they're gone. So it is genuinely a limited print run, and the lads have referenced the previous club history that was brought out in 1985 by Cormac and Sean McKeown, and those books can't be got for love nor money now, and this book won't be reprinted, as obviously it's quite an expensive undertaking. So it will be a limited print run, and once they're gone, they are genuinely gone. So I would encourage people to avail of that facility to buy the book online through our social media channels, or alternatively they can buy the book on the night of the launch in the Clayton.
Who, guys, do you think this book is going to appeal to, apart from the hardcore Shamrock Gales supporters, members, families? Who do you think might be attracted to this? You know, Sligo fans, wider public, GA?
I think so, Austin, because, you know, they're in terms of the history of each year, there are obviously a lot of other clubs involved in matches, and there will be a wealth of articles, newspaper articles, that have been reproduced. I think particularly to the rivalry with St. Mary's in the 1990s, where we contested, I think, and I should remember, probably five under 21 finals, and all of those match reports are in there. So it will be of interest to non Shamrock Gales people as well. There's photographs there of other clubs and other personalities from other clubs. So I would hope that it would have a wider audience than just Shamrock Gales.
Primarily, it obviously will be of interest to Shamrock Gales people, but When you think about it, over 50 years, a lot of players have played in the maroon and white. Many of them have moved away. And you would think about it that, you know, maybe if their families and they're telling their families or, you know, about their time growing up or their time playing football with Shamrock Gaels, that this is going to be a record that they can pass on to their wider families to say, yeah, look, that's me there in that photograph or whatever. And so I think there's going to be huge interest because there's probably 2,000 to 3,000, I'd imagine, former players. And not all of them, as I say, living in the area, you know, and not all currently involved with the club. And I think it'll be of huge interest to them. So primarily it will be Shamrock Gaels personnel and former players, former committee members and supporters. But as Andy said, there is a wider range because it's not just Shamrock Gaels. Like, as he said, the earlier part of the book covers from the formation of the association in 1884 right up to date. And I know I've had contact from people from outside the county altogether who were interested in getting their hands on the book. You know, because there is a certain clientele who love the history part of it, regardless of whether it's whatever club it is.
Yeah, I mean, there could be someone overseas listening to this interview, Andy, who would say to his or herself, God, I'd love to get a copy of that. Maybe they are not as connected with their home area as they once were, but something like this could really mean something to them.
Yeah, and I've referenced that in the book, and I suppose when someone moves away from an area, you lose that sense of connection. And I've no doubt that anyone who buying this book who's no longer within the club area or living abroad, and there are many people living abroad, and I would hope, and that would be, and I've written it in the foreword to the book, that one of my ambitions with this book would be to provide a sense of reconnection with their area, and hopefully that the book will do that.
Yeah, and I think going into the future as well, for every household to have a book in the house, and in years to come, it would be nice for people after us to take down that book and have a look through it and revive what was happening in years before.
It's funny, one of the previous books that I worked on was a history of Sui National School, where my father was a teacher for most of his teaching career, and there's a wealth of photographs in that of children at the time that a book was produced. And now you have people, maybe it was probably 15 years ago since I did that book, but you have people coming back now who are adults and they're looking for copies of the book, and God, I didn't realise it was even in that book and my photographs in it, and I wanted. So, you know, there's that sense of discovery as well of a photograph or a memory or whatever that I think will capture people's imagination when word spreads about what's in the book.
So next Saturday night, the launch takes place in Sligo's Clayton Hotel at 7 o'clock. And this is an open invitation for Shamrock Gaels supporters, yes, but yeah, connections, yeah, or just Sligo GA personnel who might like to come along.
Absolutely it is, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, the night is open to anybody there, and people are welcome from 7 o'clock onwards. And we will have both cups there on the night, the ONB and the League Cup. And there'll be a chance for people to get their photographs taken with the cup on the night as well. And it will be a very entertaining night for everybody, a good social night.
Which I'm sure a few fans would like to get an opportunity to do that with the silverware.
Of course they will, Austin, yeah.
Yeah.
So Saturday the 15th of November, Shamrock Gaels 1972 to 2022, a history in two volumes. That's good bedtime reading for you, Vincent Henry. Keep you busy.
I'm not sure where I'll start in that book. Certainly, might go back to the real old days, the Nakalasa, and bring it up to date. But there's a lot of reading going by what Andrew has been questioning me about several times over the last few years.
Have you ever counted how many teams you've either played with or helped train or manage over the years?
I haven't, to be honest. I didn't think too much about it, to be honest.
One of the little interesting pieces in the book, you know, for years, Vincent, as you know, has trained many I suppose, teams from underage all the way up to senior championship. But there was always this legend of the little black book, you know, of people who had been at training or who weren't at training or whatever it was. It does actually exist, and I did get a copy of it. It is a valuable piece of club history. It's safely returned to Vincent now, but it does exist. It was often threatened at training, you know, you're in the book. But
I'd say you could sell copies of that book, Vincent Henry. Are any of these three gentlemen in that black book?
Yeah, several times. They were missing in action several times.
All of them. Well, it was always a rumour within the club, or like the third secret of Fatima, or whatever you call it, that this book actually existed. But today actually is the first time that I received confirmation that it actually
does exist.
I'd agree with Larry.
There's several books.
Yeah, I heard about that book as well, but today is true evidence, Andy, that it does exist.
I had it in my hands, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe Austin, before you wrap up, as the person who asked Andy to take on the mammoth task of preparing the history, I'd like to concur with the sentiments expressed earlier by Vincent and Andy, just to thank him on behalf of the club for the body of work that he has put into it. I know when I asked him initially, he kind of looked at me skewways or whatever, but you know, he did take on the task, and as I said earlier, once he took it on, I knew it was going to be done to perfection. Over those 3 or 4 years while it was being compiled or pulled together, I was reluctant to ask him too much about it in case the answer I got wouldn't be to my liking. But I do sincerely want to thank him for the huge effort he has put in into editing and compiling this book, and also to thank the other people that did work for him as well on it. And maybe finally, like it is an expensive undertaking, especially a book of this size, and I'd just like to thank those people within the club area that helped us financially with it. I would like to thank them as well.
Yeah, I know people will see the price of the book, Andy, and they'll think, oh, this is pricey, but this is a special once-off publication.
It is, yeah, and yeah, it is expensive, and it's not expensive in some ways. You know, as you said, it's two books for 80 euro. It's 1,200 pages long. I'm sure if you go into any bookshop in Sligo or anywhere else, and you looked at a book of that size, you'd be talking multiples of that sort of price. And as Larry says, thanks to the people who contributed to offset, we were very conscious there is a price point at the end of the day for any publication like this, and I'd like people to remember it. Could be a nice Christmas present as well.
It certainly could. And Saturday the 15th of November, the official launch of Shamrock Gales, a history, takes place in Sligo's Clayton Hotel at 7 o'clock. And it's open to everybody, not just Shamrock Gales connections, if you'd like to come along. And if you're very, very good, in addition to seeing the brand new book, if you're very good, Vincent Henry might let you have a quick look at his little black book.
Austin, I'm sorry to tell you now, but that book is put away and it's in hiding.
In hiding.
In a safe.
Vincent Henry, Andrew Hannon, Andy Cairns, compiler and author, and Larry Quinn, thank you very much.
Thanks, Austin.
Thank you, Austin.
Thank you very much.
And a reminder that this programme is available as a podcast each week on oceanfm.ie, and wherever you get your podcasts, just search for Ocean FM Sport or The Final Whistle to find it. We're back with you next week, same time, same place.